Very pleased to have with us now Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram back on the show. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good, Vic. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Scott, I want to start with a column you wrote yesterday regarding the Browns and the potential for a trade with the St. Louis Rams for that number two overall pick. And you make the point that, and this, of course, is coming off of an article that was written by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which basically tried to handicap all the competition for this choice. And you make the point that it makes no sense for the Browns to show their best, if this report is correct and the sources that Jim Thomas of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch credits on this, attributes this to, if he's correct, they can't go out there and put their best offer first. I mean, this has got to be something that evolves.
Yeah, you know, it would be silly to think the Browns come out with, okay, we'll give you 1-2, you know, our two number ones, our 37 and something else, and then where do you go from there? You know, when the Rams come back with their counter, the Browns are kind of stuck. So I think it's interesting that the Browns, you know, because I think everybody assumes they would give up the number 22 pick if they want to go get number two to take Robert Griffin III. But I don't think you start there. But it's an interesting talking point to think, you know, well, are they not willing to give up number 22? Would they rather give up the number one in 2013? Because then I think that's a debate. You know, do you want the pick this year and give up the future, or do you want one pick each year if it winds up coming down to that?
Right. And the other interesting part of this is what the other teams might do in this, because you're the Rams. You're just trying to get something going. You're trying to spark interest, and I get it from their perspective. And then there's this presumption that the Redskins, being the Redskins and having a reputation for aggressiveness when it comes to acquiring either free agents or making a deal like this, would be so ultra-aggressive in their approach. But the truth is they don't want to part with their second-rounder this year, according to this report, that they would give up this year's first, which is sixth overall, and then next year's first.
Yeah, and you know, we don't know how the whole quarterback landscape is going to work out. So I think – these reports are premature. I guess that's is the basis of the column. The Browns offer is premature. Looking at exactly what everybody would be willing to give up is premature because we still have pieces to fall. And I get that the Rams are trying to fast forward the clock. You know, they want to get it done, and they think they have more leverage now than they will have once Peyton Manning gets cut, once Matt Flynn actually hits free agency, because there might be more teams bidding for the quarterback, you know, for Robert Griffin III. I just think it all becomes premature because nobody's going to make their best offer now. And we've seen it throughout the history of the NFL. Nobody makes a deal until the last minute. Nobody franchise their guys until Friday or Monday, and the deadline was Monday at 4 o'clock. So that's just how it works, and it's how it works in business. When the pressure's on, you know, when you're a newspaper writer, you know, you turn it in 10 minutes before deadline so you can read it one more time.
Yes.
That's just how it works. So I get why the Rams would try to get something done. You have a little – you have longer to set your plan for the draft. You have longer to go into free agency. You know, you just have more time to deal with things and get a picture in your head. But I just don't see anything getting done until right before the draft.
Yeah, and they're in a position, of course, to try to get this moving because on the 13th, they can go ahead and make a deal, could be made by then, and they would love it to be made by then. But I'm with you. I don't think this is a deal that happens that much or that far ahead of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked. I mean, conceivably, the Browns could make a trade to get the number two pick on March 13th, and then you would know what you want to go and do free agency, what draft picks you're going to have, and everything would be settled. But I just don't see that happening. And I think people – I think the Rams – would be wrong to assume that they lose all leverage just because it drags on. Because whoever doesn't get Peyton Manning and whoever doesn't get Matt Flynn, they're still going to need a quarterback come draft day on April 26th. And if you like Robert Griffin and you've met with him between now and the draft and you've watched more film and all of a sudden you're in love with Robert Griffin, there's teams that are going to want to make the move. And it's not just going to be the Browns or the Redskins. What about New England? What if they fall – or not New England. I'm sorry, what about Kansas City?
The Chiefs.
If they fall in love with him. You know, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks that all of a sudden if they find out Griffin may be available, you could say, you know what, we'll give up our ones the next 3 years. Will it work?
Yeah, you can throw the mix with teams that have lower picks, Seattle being in this conversation, the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure.
You mentioned the Chiefs because Matt Cassel's future could be very much up in the air with the coaching change there as well. And, look, the other thing that when you brought up Peyton Manning's name, that's going to be very interesting, is Friday. Is at by 4 p.m. Eastern time Friday, the Colts need to decide what they're going to do with Manning, because if they don't cut him, or let's put it this way, if they decide to keep him, they're going to owe him $28 million dollars after 4 p.m. Friday. If they want to cut him and not owe him that check, then that's got to be done by 4 p.m. Friday, which is close of league business that day. And if they wait and say, "Oh, we'll take care of this on Monday," if they they take that approach, Jim Irsay, their owner, is going to have to write a big fat check. So we're going to know at least one shoe would drop, I guess, on the free agency front with quarterbacks. And then the other thing, Matt Flynn did not get a franchise tag, so those wheels continue to move toward his availability. And you're right, then that conversation comes into play with regard to the Browns or any other team that is thinking quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, the Colts aren't going to give Peyton that check, so it becomes, is he willing to rework a deal? You know, the Colts willing to rework it as well. Because you know you assume they're going to take Andrew Luck at number one. So then, do you make a deal with Peyton to bring him back for a couple of years and mentor Andrew Luck, even though he's the number one pick? So it's just, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So I think we can assume Peyton's going to hit the market. And now we know Matt Flynn, you know, there's a little question mark there. Would they franchise him and try to trade him? So now we know those two guys are going to get out there. But, I think the other interesting thing is, the teams such as the Browns or the Redskins or the Dolphins all have to decide which of these quarterbacks they like best.
Right.
And if you like Robert Griffin III best, he's not Peyton Manning right now, but where Peyton Manning is in age and neck surgery and all that, and where Matt Flynn is, if you like the long-term prospects of Robert Griffin, then maybe the market isn't huge for Matt Flynn. You know, I mean, everybody assumes that he's going to get a 5-year deal for $50 million. But if the four or five teams that are in the top of the list of who needs to go get a quarterback now, all like Robert Griffin III best, all of a sudden it decreases Matt Flynn's value.
Sure.
And it raises the value of that number two pick that the Rams are trying to get rid of.
In a big way. We're visiting with Scott Patrick. He covers the Browns for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Scott, lots of other developments so far in this in these last couple of weeks, but the Browns deciding not to put a franchise tag on Peyton Hillis, deciding to use that on Phil Dawson. The fact that they used it on Dawson now becomes kind of very much, I mean, I always thought it was pretty logical given what he meant to the team this past year, what he's meant for the team for the past several years, but in light of the fact that I think it's seven kickers, and counting like a punter, somewhere in there as well, that are on this list of tagged players. So it increases that value, I guess, or it tells you what that value is league-wide. So the Browns are part of that trend. But what do you think it means in the broader scope of now deciding that, you know, that Peyton Hillis didn't get it?
Yeah, I think it comes down to money. I think 7.7 is a lot of money to pay Peyton Hillis for coming off the season that he had.
On the one-year guarantee if they tag.
Yeah, that's what the tag number would be, about 7.7, and if he signed it, it's guaranteed for 2012. And that's just a lot of money to give a guy who was, you know, missed five games with the hamstring, missed the other game with the illness. You know, we all know about the off-the-field drama that kind of surrounded him all year. So I'm not sure it would be a good sign to the rest of the locker room. You say, you know what, we're going to give this guy 7.7 because we can't do without him when, you know, we did without him for about half the season anyway last year. That doesn't mean you can't bring him back, but I think it's a wise move by the Browns to say, you know what, this guy, based on his 1 year of big-time production, is not worth the tag, which is kind of reserved for, you know, your best players, and isn't worth that kind of money right now. You know, we'll bring him back, you know, an incentive-laden deal, or if we can work out something cheap, or, you know, I just think that's the way to go with him. And then I think the Dawson move was a no-brainer. He's one of your five best players, has been for 13 years, had his best year ever last year.
Yeah.
You know, made the seven kicks from 50 yards. You know, I would like to see a long-term deal get done at some point with Phil, just so you can quit. He can quit worrying about it. You know, he's been trying to get it done for now 3 or 4 years. But it just makes sense for the Browns to make sure he comes back and not let him get out there where You know, somebody could have made a ridiculous offer for a guy that is Mr. Consistency.
When you're money and you've got that guy, the consistency, the fact that it influences how you decide your offensive strategy. Yeah. You can do certain things because you know you have Phil Dawson. And with regard to the way this Browns team has done things, starting with the extension for DeQuell Jackson, mm-hmm. getting that done, the right guy to take care of there. Phil Dawson, the right guy to get the tag. I do think you talk about messages being sent within the locker room. I think these are good, sound messages to the rest of your team.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I got a couple, you know, snide emails. Oh, I can't believe the Browns have to franchise a kicker. They don't have anybody better. And I shot back with, they locked up Joe Thomas. They locked up Evan Moore. They locked up Tabo Rubin. And then they get the Crawls deal done. So, you know, the new regime has only been here a couple years. They only have so many of their guys here. And then they've kept the guys that they wanted to keep. So when you look at the list of free agents that could be tagged, mm-hmm. it was Hillis or Dawson once DeQuell's deal got done. And to me, that was automatic.
Yeah. Now, it'll be interesting to see where things do go from here, because I would say a running back still factors in this team's thinking mm-hmm. for acquisition. Montero Hardesty still on the roster. Brandon Jackson comes back from the yep. injury. You've got Chris Obanai. But I think you look to either the draft or free agency to address running back. And I'm not necessarily saying it has to be a prominent investment in a pick or a prominent free agent yep. signing, but I think you do get another back here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the ideal scenario is you spend maybe the 37th pick if you still have it, or even better, the third-round pick. You bring in a guy with an upside who complements Jackson, Hardesty, and Obanai, and all of a sudden you get four guys in the pool, and all you need to do is mix and match and find the right guy every week. And that's unless you have the bell cow, the Adrian Peterson, the Arian Foster. That's how a lot of teams do it in this league.
Sure.
You just need enough guys there. And I think that's how Pat Shurmur's offense works too. I don't think he needs a guy to get the ball 22 times a game.
Scott, great stuff, and we thank you so much for dropping by.
Hey, anytime, Vic.
He is Scott Petrick. He covers the Browns and does it very well for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.